The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you hate nothing you have made, and you forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create in us new and honest hearts, so that truly repenting of our sins, we may receive from you, the God of all mercy, full pardon and forgiveness through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first lesson is from the second chapter of Joel. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like darkness spread upon the mountains. A great and powerful army comes. Their like has never been from of old, nor will be again after them in ages to come. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and astounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a feast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the aged. Gather the children, even infants, at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her canopy. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priestly, the ministers of the Lord, weep. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? The word of the Lord.
Wash me through and through from my
second lesson is from the fifth and sixth chapters of 2 Corinthians. We entreat you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time, I have listened to you, and on the day of salvation, I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance and afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see, we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet many rich, making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. The word of the Lord.
And merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love,
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the sixth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting may be seen not by others but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. Be seated. One day a preacher came home and saw his wife in a brand new red dress. He looked at her and said, "Didn't we say that you weren't supposed to get any more clothes for a while?" His wife replied, "Yes, but I put it on and I was looking at myself in the mirror and Satan tempted me and told me it looked so good from the front and I just had to have it." The preacher replied, saying, "You should have said, "Get behind me, Satan." His wife said, "I did." And Satan said, "It looks good from back here, too." The devil made me do it. This Lenten season, we're going to spend some time talking about phrases like that. Things the Bible doesn't say, but which have become part of our world so much that sometimes we do think the Bible says them. When Claro Wilson turned 16, he was ready to get out of foster homes and reform school, so he lied about his age and joined the Air Force. Blessed with nonstop personality, he entertained fellow airmen with so many funny stories, they claimed he was flipped out and the name stuck. Leaving the Air Force, Flip Wilson found work as a bellhop and started performing between paid acts at the hotel's stage show. Before long, he was a successful comedian. One of Flip's most popular characters was Geraldine Jones, whom he portrayed in a dress, a copper-colored wig, with exaggerated facial expressions. Geraldine was constantly misbehaving, crossing the line, and violating her conscience. But she had a one-sentence explanation for her behavior. "The devil made me do it." Maybe you remember that. That phrase, "the devil made me do it," quickly became part of our culture. It's the oldest line in the book. Literally. In the Garden of Eden, when God confronts Adam and Eve after they have eaten the forbidden fruit, the first thing Adam does is blame Eve. And Eve, the first thing she does is blame the serpent. "This wasn't my fault," they said. "The devil made me do it." It's a line we may have tried from time to time as we seek to evade responsibility and culpability for our sin. "It's not my fault," we say when our hands are caught in the cookie jar. "The devil made me do it." Oh, how often we feel guilt over the actions of our past. Oh, how many times we wish we could do something over or do it differently. Oh, how many times our past haunts us with images that we can't seem to forget or let go of because they don't let go of us. But no, the devil can tempt us to sin, but he cannot force us to. It is our own natures that lead us there. We cannot evade responsibility, and that's made clear especially on this night, on Ash Wednesday. And even more, God doesn't allow our excuses. He doesn't even acknowledge what Adam and Eve had said. There are consequences, and right there we learn that sin has disastrous results. As Adam and Eve have to leave paradise for the world of struggle we know. The prophet Joel tells us, "Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love." Tonight, the call is to repentance, to acknowledgement of our guilt, to a plea to God for mercy, just like Cain did. Maybe you remember that the sin that Adam and Eve brought into the world next took root in Cain, and he killed his brother Abel. When God banished him from his family, Cain cried out to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. I will be estranged from you and wander the earth, and anyone who meets me will kill me." But even then, in the very act of punishing, God shows mercy. He puts a mark on Cain, a sign of protection. "This person is mine," the mark indicates, "now and forever." As we gather tonight, soon we will have marks on our heads. Marks of repentance and sorrow and pleas for mercy. But marks also made in that very place that the sign of the cross was made in our baptisms. "This person is mine," God said then, "now and forever." The devil doesn't make us do it. We do. But God's love is stronger still. Amen.
Thank you.
friends in Christ. Today, with the whole church, we enter the time of remembering Jesus' Passover from death to life, and our life in Christ is renewed. We begin this holy season by acknowledging our need for repentance and for God's mercy. We are created to experience joy in communion with God, to love one another, and to live in harmony with creation. But our sinful rebellion separates us from God, our neighbors, and creation, so that we do not enjoy the life our Creator intended. As disciples of Jesus, we are called to a discipline that contends against evil and resists whatever leads us away from love of God and neighbor. I invite you, therefore, to the discipline of Lent, self-examination and repentance, prayer and fasting, sacrificial giving and works of love, strengthened by the gifts of word and sacrament. Let us continue our journey through these 40 days to the great 3 days of Jesus' death and resurrection. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most holy and merciful God, we confess to you and to one another, and before the whole company of heaven, that we have sinned by our fault, by our own fault, by our own most grievous fault, and thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. Our negligence in prayer and worship, and our failure to share the faith that is in us, we confess to you. Our neglect of human need and suffering, and our indifference to injustice and cruelty, we confess to you. Our false judgments, our uncharitable thoughts toward our neighbors, and our prejudice and contempt toward those who differ from us, we confess to you. Our waste and pollution of your creation and our lack of concern for those who come after us, we confess to you. Restore us, O God, and let your anger depart from us. Maybe sit. Accomplish in us, O God, the work of your salvation. By the cross and passion of your Son, our Savior. Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Living Lord, we need your mercy. We need your love. The ashes on our heads this night are merely signs of the evil within us. The marks on our faces remind us of the marks against us, of our sin, and point out our need for you. Oh, how we need you, loving Savior. Oh, how we need your cleansing. Be with us now and always. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we are sorry for all our wrongs. Sorry for the ways we have hurt others. Sorry for the good that we have left undone. Sorry for the way we have sought our own way instead of yours and taken ourselves away from you. Forgive us. Heal us. Restore us, great God of mercy. Look on us in grace and love. Lord, in your mercy. We do live in a broken world. We are broken in our sin, and so many are broken by illness or distress or fear or hunger or loneliness. Be with and bless all your people, Lord God, and especially all those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you, loving God, for the salvation you give to us in Jesus Christ, your Son. Give us a new heart. Lift us and help us to begin again. Fill us with new hope in you and with a new vision of the life you want us to lead. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share God's peace.
us pray. Generous God,
you feed us with the harvest of the land, and you provide for our every need. Receive our gifts of money, imagination, and labor, and transform them into a feast that welcomes all. In Jesus Christ, our host and our guest. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy God, our living water and our merciful guide, we bless and magnify you. You led your people Israel through the desert and joined in our desert, pouring out your life for the world. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life, death, and resurrection, we await your salvation for all this thirsty world. Pour out your Spirit on this holy food and on all the baptized gathered for this feast. Wash away our sin that we may be revived for our journey by the love of Christ. Through him all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us
this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Tender and merciful one, at your feast, you fed us who brought nothing, turning our emptiness into joy. Filled with your abundant grace, send us now to be ministers of reconciliation, mending broken hearts, working for justice, and striving for peace among all people, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Serve the Lord.